Okay, so whenever you're ready, I have it going.
So are we, I mean, right now we only have three of us. Do we know if there are going to be more?
Darren? We had.
Oh, I see Shannon's there somewhere.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
We never heard back from Dan Tedrow, so, and Terry Cummings, she didn't respond either, so I think this is it.
I think four gets us at a quorum, so that's good. Okay, so we are recording.
Yes, we are.
Okay, great, thanks. Well, welcome everyone. It is Thursday, November 5th, 5:32 PM, and this is our special meeting of the Committee for Citizen Involvement. And we have a pretty limited discussion this evening. Just to talk about, I think, at least as I understand it, just to talk about the citizen at large roles for the Project Advisory Committee for the HB 2001-2003 projects for the city.
We have Terry now.
Oh, okay. Hi, Terry. So, Darren, do you want to, I guess, call the roll, or so we know who's here and who's not?
Okay. Shannon Knight.
I had to unmute. I'm here.
Ms. Olson.
Present.
Mr. Schwartz.
Present.
Chair Volvatny.
Here.
Councilor Cummings.
Present.
And Mr. Tedrow. Hearing no answer, I will mark him as absent. You have a quorum.
Great. Thanks, Chris. So is there, Darren, I guess, is there anything you wanted to say about the memo that you sent out?
Yes. So thank you, Chair Volvatny. So last Tuesday, I was before the Committee for Citizen Involvement to get a recommendation on the Project Advisory Committee for House Bills 2001-2003. If you can think back all the way back to last Tuesday, I had provided 10 organizations for your consideration. The CCI added five additional groups to the recommendation. Your additions were the Economic Development Committee member, Committee for Citizen Involvement member, Historic Review Board member, and two citizens at large. The transmittal letter, recommendation letter, is on the back of the little memo that I provided for you tonight. There was some emails flew about the citizen members that staff had passed along to council. So council had a preview of their November 9th meeting on Monday. There was some concern about how the membership was, the individuals were appointed or recommended to council for appointments. So council directed us to come back to the CCI for an additional recommendation that included the individuals to represent each of those groups and organizations that you recommended last week. So here tonight, I provided the 15 groups and organizations and the individuals to represent them outside of city council, because council will recommend its member when they appoint the group. And with that, I'm willing to take any questions or comments, suggestions, and go from there.
I have a question. So the names that were submitted, because I submitted a name, so that was in a pool, and there's two names that were chosen. So how many people, how many names were put in that pot?
So I guess that's where the confusion stems from, right? So the CCI recommended two citizens at large. Mm-hmm. At the meeting itself, Ms. Knight's husband was suggested as one person that could sit on it. He agreed at the meeting. So we had submitted his name to council, and then I had asked the CCI members if they had any names to pass along, please pass them along to me. That next morning, I found someone else that was willing to volunteer. So I passed that name on to council. So I was under a little bit of time crunch to get my agenda bill to council. After that, Mr. Smores had submitted a name. I believe Chair Vlotny also had someone in mind. And then you had also submitted the name. Mm-hmm. So the intention was never to submit a pool of names to council and put them in the position of having to choose people in a public meeting. I was just asking, you know, maybe the clarity wasn't there, obviously, but I was asking for names of folks from the CCI that then I could reach out to see if, one, if they were interested, two, if they're available, and three, to give them some information about the project itself. So okay. I apologize, there's obviously a lack of clarity there. But anyhow, I had submitted two names to the city council, the citizens at large, as you can see, one being Jesse Knight, the other being Tim Young. Council, again, directed me to come back to the CCI to make sure that the CCI was comfortable with those two, or if there needed to be changes, or again, we're open to, if you want to add more members or citizens at large, we can do that also. So hopefully this won't take too much longer. Let everyone get back to their evenings, but open it up for comment or suggestions.
So Ed.
Well, so I'm not familiar with Tim Young, who was the second person, I guess, added. Does Mr. Young live in West Lynn? And can you give me a little bit of information about his background?
Of course, yes. He lives in West Lynn as a citizen at large. He is a planning consultant. He's also on the Historic Review Board, so hence the reason that I'm familiar with Mr. Young. He's got some knowledge around House Bill 2001. So anyhow, that's the reason I had reached out to him to see if he had interest. And he agreed to volunteer his time to be on this committee, and that's the reason I had submitted his name as a citizen at large.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I feel like we have three other people whose names were submitted, one by you, one by Vicki, and one by myself. And I'm wondering, when citizens step up and volunteer, I hate to turn them down. So I'm wondering if maybe we could consider expanding the committee and adding those three people as well to the group, just to provide a decent amount of citizen participation. I'm already, a little unhappy with the overall makeup of the group as far as the large participation by home builders and people like that. So I think this might help balance it out a little bit if we would add some additional members of the public from West Lynn. And I understand that this group is intended to make recommendations to changes to our code, but I think the people we have submitted, at least the person I submitted, is very, very knowledgeable with West Lynn codes, and I think would do an excellent job on this committee. So I just throw that out there for the for our consideration.
Yeah, I think that sounds reasonable to add additional members. The person that I was in contact with and is interested in being on the committee is former Planning Commissioner Jim Farrell. So he recently left the Planning Commission because he is functioning as a teacher for two grandchildren because of the school situation right now. So, but he's still very interested in participating. This is more limited than being on the PC. So, anyway, that he has interested in House Bills 2001 and 2003.
Yes, I agree. I'd like the person I submitted to be part of this too.
Can you tell us who it was and their background?
Well, they're John Frankel. He lives in Savannah Oaks neighborhood, and he's been a resident of West Lynn for maybe 15 years. So, and he's HOA? He's the president of his HOA.
Okay. Yeah. Is it okay for me to comment?
Sure.
Okay, so I don't want to make this a really long meeting. I'm totally fine adding the three extra people. I think that totally makes sense, and that, like, I agree we should have volunteers that want to step up. But I don't know if anybody else listened to the meeting on Monday. If not, I would probably go back and listen to it. It's, I think, about the hour and 40 mark where they get into the discussion on what we recommended. And I just thought Councillor Cummings brought up some good points that we really didn't discuss in the initial meeting on this. And I know this is probably, you know, let's just be done with this and move on. But just so that we can think about it in the future, is that we didn't create this list. This was a list that staff brought to us and we added to it. But I didn't really feel like we had any power to change the list at all. And I think Dan even brought up, you know, why ICON, like, we should have had a huge discussion on who we wanted as a builder. And ICON probably would have ended up to be the person because they are an actual local business as well. But I just feel like we should have been discussing, you know, maybe as these would be ideas brought forth, but not an actual set list. And we should have been creating the list from scratch, including how many members we wanted. Because I think Terry started our meeting off because she was late asking how many we wanted on there. So all of these, I feel like, should have been discussions we were having, and it should have been, you know, kind of dictated to us by staff. And I know it's, and I don't want to blame staff because I know you guys are on a time crunch and you were just trying to expedite things, and they were, you know, ideas that you were given to from the consultants and stuff like that. But I just think, you know, going forward, we need to kind of make sure that if we're given this task again, that it's something that we're driving, who's going to be on the committee. And that's just my two cents.
Great. Thanks, Shannon. Councillor Cummings, can you summarize what you said the other night at the meeting?
Well, basically, I object to the way this was done, and I think that it's actually rather hypocritical and ironic that this is being done with the CCI of all things, because this typically the CCI, you know, the model of it with Oregon Land Use Goal 1 is that the organization would be looking at how the municipality conducts its citizen engagement. And the whole idea, I would think, is that it wouldn't be a top-down staff-driven thing, that it would be something that brings citizens into the process, providing them information in a timely manner and engaging citizens in a timely manner. So it would have ideally been where the CCI would take a look and think about how we in our city want to have our technical committee for HB 2001 and 2003 be made up. And then when you look at that, like, you want 7, 10, 12, how many people and what organizations, and kind of make up that group, then you send out a invite to the community, and the city would do this. And so you wouldn't have a thing where staff would say, well, I want you to, I think we should have this person from economic development first, and this person from this, and this particular developer and so forth. It should be a call out to the citizens and to the interested parties. And then whoever feels they want to be involved in this process puts their name in the hat. And then it would either be the CCI that could sort through those applications or the city council. As far as protecting the council from having to have discussions about individuals, we have to do that. We have to do that basically all year long. We have to have a public process when we select our citizen involvement, engagement people, advisory board members. Every year, some of the advisory members' terms expire, and we have an application process. As you know, we went through it with each one of you. And we interviewed, those interviews are on tape, people can listen to them. And our discussions about who we appoint is on tape, and people can listen to that, which I think is pretty dang weird and pretty darn uncomfortable. I don't like to talk about why I think somebody's qualifications are better than somebody else's or something like this. We don't have to do this when we're deciding who the city manager is going to be or who the city attorney is. I don't know why this is part of Oregon public meeting law, why we have to do this, because we're basically hiring people. I don't know why it is, but that's what we have to live with. So there's no reason to try to protect us from that. It's what we have to live with, you know? So meanwhile, the issue of how this was handled concerns me, because I know that we got this grant a while ago. I don't know how long ago, but if it did look like it had short time frames for the grant, I think staff should have kicked into gear right away and started to engage the CCI in a conversation about how we're going to do this technical committee, how we're going to set up ours for our city, what kind of resources are out there, what kind of parties are being involved in this, that whole conversation. And then we should have had our city people that put things on the city website put out that this is a huge process we're just about to embark on, and we want people to get involved in it. This is huge. House Bill 2001 is basically going to turn turned all our single family zoning into multifamily zoning. And it's a big conversation. We don't even know how this is going to work. And yet we're being treated like it's some kind of big fat rush. So yeah, I'm not in a good mood about this.
Okay. I had a couple of more things that I forgot to add is that Councillor Cummings also mentioned that this list was not public. So it was not on the agenda from what I understand, right? So nobody had the ability to comment on this list at our meeting. So that was one of the things that she brought up too. And then also, you know, I know that PC, you guys voted on who, you know, was going to represent you, but I know EDC was just someone was called on EDC to do it. We didn't have any kind of discussion on who was going to be representing EDC members and decided who it was going to be, which is fine, because that's the person who I would have recommended. So it's not that I'm mad about that. It's just the process is what we probably need to look at.
I have a question. Oh, Gary?
Yes.
I have a question. So what is the purpose of this group? I know it's short term. They're going to have 3 to 4 meetings. What's the purpose? What is their goal?
My understanding is that the project advisory committee is going to be, I wouldn't say overseeing or managing, but just acting as an advisory role to the the consultant and I think planning department staff regarding the direction we go with code changes, potential code changes for the city to accommodate HB 2001. So I think that's the biggest. Does that sound right, Darren? Does that sound like the biggest thing? I mean, 2003 is housing needs.
Yes. Yeah, so as the city's project manager for these two grants, I think I can provide a little clarity for you here. So getting back to Mr. Swartz's comment earlier, this is in line with it. So this committee will be reviewing consultant work and giving the consultant feedback. There'll be no recommendation on code changes to council or anything like that. It's just simply a committee reviewing the consultant's technical work, providing the feedback. The consultant's work from House Bill 2003 is a housing needs analysis, which is outlined in state statute how you do a housing needs analysis. You look at the projection of population increase and need, you look at the land you have available, and then you do basically the math. Well, you need this much land to accommodate this much housing, and then in this price range, and so then you end up with your need analysis. And then the second part of the process is then coming up with strategies to meet that need. So the first phase one with the grant work is the housing needs analysis. So it's a very technical in nature, just simply basically a math equation. Phase two is when we will staff after the grant's over and we have the housing needs analysis in our hands. We'll go out to the community. We'll have until the end of 2023 to actually adopt it. So we can go out to the community and have a robust conversation about, and I've said this before, de minimis or de maximis. Do we want to do the bare minimum to try to meet our housing needs, or do we want to go above and beyond? You know, lots of jurisdictions have affordable housing programs, set up structures to help affordable housing be built within the community. West Lynn has limited buildable land left. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to consider, you know, do we want to potentially rezone areas to meet our needs? So those are the types of questions that will get answered after this first phase of the technical exercise. So that's House Bill 2003. House Bill 2001 is what's known as the Housing Choices Bill. And that's where the legislature passed the bill. It's now law. And the rulemaking is being done next week. LCDC, the Land Conservation and Development Commission, will adopt the rules, which become the Oregon administrative rules, where duplexes are going to be required to be permitted on every single family lot. So moving forward, anybody could, you know, put a duplex on a single family lot, and triplexes, quadplexes, townhomes, and cottage clusters have to be allowed in what they call areas. And that was the big discussion over the course of the rulemaking process of how you define an area. So those rules will be coming out next week. The consultant's job will then be to take the rules, take the city's code, and do a gap analysis. So if the rules require triplexes on 60% of single family lots over a certain size, and you're going to come up with the gap analysis of where the city's code allows that, where it doesn't, and how we can meet that. So the outcome is going to be a consultant recommending, here's a package of code amendments that would get the city into compliance with House Bill 2001. So at the end of that, again, then the city will have 1 year, June of 2021, we have to adopt rules that are compliant with House Bill 2001, or we get the model code put upon us. So then we would have to follow the model code that the state is putting together as part of these rules. So the consultant finishes their job of, here's what you need to do to meet the rules. Staff will again go out to the community and say, here's the bare minimum we need to do, so de minimis, or do we want to take a step further and allow triplexes, quadplexes, or triplexes, quadplexes, cottage clusters, and townhomes on areas in addition to the bare minimum. So that's the big policy question. So again, so this committee that we're talking about tonight will be reviewing the technical side of it. Hence the reason we had a lot of people that provide housing, including affordable housing, on the recommended for the committee, because they have background in how codes work and House Bill 2001. So trying to get us to a point where we can be in compliance. And then after that, we can have that conversation with the community about, this is de minimis. Is this what we want to go with? Or does the city want to do more and enact policies and programs to encourage not only affordable housing, but needed housing and that housing choices, which at one time was called the middle housing. So anyhow, that was a lot of talking by me in a short amount of time, but hopefully that clears it up for everybody that again, this committee is not going to be recommending code changes to council. It's going to be recommending or reviewing the products the consultant produces, and then the consultant will put together this one housing needs analysis and two, a package of recommendations of how the city can meet the requirements of House Bill 2001. And it's a great benefit to the city to have gotten these grants. Otherwise, we would have had to spend general fund monies and a whole lot of staff time to get this done. So hopefully we can get to a conclusion about who the CCI would like to recommend on the committee shortly, and I can pass it back along to council.
How long is this committee going to be meeting? Is it going to be like for a year? It's 3 to 4 meetings. Is that the course of a year?
Yeah, the schedule is the first meeting in early December. Mm-hmm. Second meeting will be sometime in February. And then the third meeting is scheduled for April right now. And if there's a necessary fourth meeting, we would have it in May.
Okay.
So the consultants have to have their work done by the end of June 2021. So their scope of work right now is to have the draft done in May, so staff can take the final review of the draft before we close out the grant and then have that to take forward to the community for discussion. Yeah, so it's a very tight timeline, unfortunately, but that's the way the grant cycle works.
Ed.
Okay, so so this committee will be reviewing the suggested code changes presented by the consultant. So I think my comment stands. I mean, okay, they're not going to recommend them to the city council, but they're still recommending changes to the code moving forward. So that's why I'd like to have some of our citizens involved who are familiar with our codes and representing the interests of the city here, as opposed to the interests of the development community, which I see is mostly made up of this committee. I did want to ask, when did we receive this grant, or those two grants you talked about, Darren?
I don't remember off the top of my head. I'll look real quick, though.
Yeah, I'm just would appreciate that.
Vicki.
Ed, would you feel comfortable removing people from the committee, removing some builders, or?
Well, I do look at a few of them, like the which ones I had marked, the Home Builders, number 12, Home Builders Association of Metro Portland, number 10, Fair Housing Council of Oregon. There were a few that I thought were organizations that probably aren't real familiar with codes specifically in West Lynn. I'm looking at, you know, again, we're talking about West Lynn here, and these, you know, I would imagine that these folks are, yes, familiar with 2001 and 2003 in general, but when we're focusing on our city, I don't see the need to have those people on the committee, and probably also number 9, the Clackamas County person as well. So Yeah, I wouldn't mind removing those three.
So I would like to address that real quick. Department of Land Conservation and Development staff was very clear with us that they wanted to see people with housing background and knowledge on the committee and not, as they put it, the usual suspects. So hence the reason that they recommended a bunch of folks, the developer or the consultants represented a bunch of folks, and we're trying to get people that have knowledge of House Bill 2001 and make the committee, you know, diverse in that matter. Again, this is about compliance with House Bill 2001. So it's going to be the, what does the city need to do to meet the requirements? We're not going to be looking at the far end of the spectrum. As I said, this is going to be the, what's the bare minimum we need to do to meet it? And then we will take that conversation out to the community at large after this technical work is done to see if we want to go above and beyond.
So just to throw in a comment about Fair Housing Council, we had a project recently. Chris was staff for a zoning change, and Fair Housing Council actually sent a comment regarding the zoning change. So they're apparently paying attention to us in some fashion. That's the first that I remember that they've commented on something that we've done with the Planning Commission.
I think fair housing, just from the perspective that this bill was created to, you know, try to create lower income housing, I think it's fair to have them in there. I had more trouble with, well, like I said, the chamber, and especially, you know, again, they choose Noelle. Like, Noelle's a friend of mine. I know Noelle. She's a realtor, so she has that expertise, but she's not a Westland citizen. So I knew the chamber was going to come with someone that wasn't Westland, and so I'm still not sure why the chamber's in there. But and Habitat for Humanity, because I don't think Habitat for Humanity is ever building a home in Westland. So those were the only two that I thought the rest were fine.
It might be a good opportunity to create a relationship with Habitat for Humanity through this process, and they might build a home in Westland at some point.
I just don't think they could because of the cost.
Yeah.
Well, that's where the importance of the housing needs analysis comes in. And then,
but just the land is too expensive for a Habitat for Humanity.
Well, the housing needs analysis will get done, and then we'll have that conversation with the community. I mean, there are communities all around the Portland metro area, the city of Bend, where land is very expensive. There's a lot of affordable housing that gets built. So,
well, because it's not that expensive. Because I mean, I have a house in Bend, and two Habitat for Humanity houses went up across the street from me, but the land was not that expensive. So it's expensive for the area, but it's not that expensive as Westland would be with our SDC charges and everything. I don't know, maybe you guys waive SDCs for Habitat for Humanity, and then maybe you could have that discussion.
So the gal from the Westland Chamber, she's not from Westland?
No, she lives in Wilsonville.
So why is she on our list? I mean,
That's why I said that I had that concern last week that Westland, okay, or that the chamber has a lot of non-Westland members in it, in the management of it. And so that's why I was figuring that we would get a non-Westland member on that. But right, Noelle's really good. She used to be the Main Street manager, so she's very knowledgeable, and she's a realtor, so it's fine. But it's like I said, it wasn't going to be a citizen.
So I've got a list of 15 plus Jim Farrell, Kerry Oaks, and John Franklin.
Yes.
So total of 18. Are we going with that, or are we still discussing other groups and organizations?
I think it's fine, personally, just because I think, you know, we've already been done. But like I said, again, we probably should have made this list ourselves instead of been given it. So.
So if I might comment on that. So the difficulty in this is that we have to ensure that, first of all, the organizations want to participate. Secondly, that they have a staff member or a representative that has the time to participate. And hence, you know, the city pays me to do my job, and I feel like I did my job of identifying, with the help of other staff, of course, reaching out, identifying groups that were willing to participate, had some knowledge of House Bill 2001 and House Bill 2003, and then had the capacity of someone that would be willing to help the city get through these grant projects. If we had unlimited amounts of time, that the CCI could have put together a list, and then we could have then went out and reached out to them and came back to you, you know, sure, that would have been a great process. But again, with these grant timelines, they're very tight. So,
Yeah, and I get that. And I get that that's why it was done for time. I just think going forward, we probably shouldn't put ourselves on these time crunches, and we should have more involvement in creating the list. But that's fine, like I said, for now, because we are in the time crunch. So,
okay. Well, yeah. So just for clarity, if staff is going to be going out for grants, we're always going to end up in this situation. If there's committees that are going to be put together, it's always going to be a time crunch. Grants have deadlines. So
I know I do a lot of grants for Main Street, but we also, once we get them, try to start working on them, or you can go for extensions too. But.
And that was the reason for my question. When did we get the grants?
I'm sorry, Ed, I was looking into that.
Okay. Well, in the meantime, I guess, Mr. Chair, I would like to go ahead and propose that we add the three citizens, Jim Farrell, John Frankel, and Kerry Oakes, to the committee, and that we remove number 7, the Westland Chamber of Commerce, and number 12, the Home Builders Association. And if you need a motion, I'd be happy to make a motion to that effect.
I would just personally just leave them, because they've already had conversations with these people, and they're already kind of assuming that they're going to be on this committee. And think it would be weird to go back to them and say, wait, they changed your mind, you're not going to be on here. I'm not sure it does any harm having them there. So I would just leave it as is, and just again, before people are contacted, we should have taken people off the list.
Councilor Cummings.
I mean, it's, again, this is a process issue. And if somebody offers something that belongs to me without asking me, and then I'm expected to go ahead and let them have it, because they've already been asked by somebody without my permission, that doesn't feel good. And that's what this feels like. I don't think any of these people should have been contacted without first having this conversation on the CCI level. I think we got this grant last summer. So I feel no sense of obligation whatsoever. Yes, there might be some awkward things, but do you want to create a precedence for doing things this way? Or do we want to correct ourselves right now? I appreciate that we're not having these conversations now tonight. This is the conversation that we should have had in the first place. So I think what we're doing right now, going back and forth about what makes sense, is what should have happened in the first place. And I appreciate it.
So I guess a question following up on the groups that are from you know, outside West Lynn. I actually kind of appreciate having the external perspective, just because, at least as far as I know, there aren't any. I mean, this isn't a complete draw toward low cost housing, because it's not under, you know, federal Title VIII kind of housing. It's not subsidized. This is market driven stuff, maybe having some other perspective would be helpful, and insight into what the consultants are going to be doing. And the point is, they're reviewing and they may be commenting, but they don't have control over what actually happens in West Lynn. So I'm open to, I guess, all of them. Some of it I think if we had started out to make our own list, I'm not sure that we would have known. I mean, we would have had to do some research, I guess, but you know, to find some of these groups, it would have taken some searching, I think.
Gary, I'm not trying to say that. I think the staff could have come to the CCI and said, look, we've got to do this process. We've got this grant. This is how much time we have. Here's some suggestions. Why don't you guys, you know, look into it and see how you want to do it for West Lynn, and maybe right. Some information about what some of the other cities are doing. That's all.
Yeah.
And I realized, you know, I know this was all done with good intentions, and even the part about not wanting to put council in the position, maybe that was just because, you know, maybe staff isn't usually involved, you know, with council on that level, you know, but now that we know, you know, that that's the way it works. Normally we would be putting a call out for volunteers, just like we do for any other citizen ad hoc committee or advisory committee type of thing. It's a great way to let the public know what we're up to. That's just me, my opinion.
Yeah.
I was one counselor, you know.
Okay, so back to Ed. You had a possible motion.
Well, I'm going to stick with what I said previously. I'm going to move that we add three people to the committee: Jim Farrell, Don Frankel, and Kerry Oakes, and that we remove number seven, the Chamber of Commerce, and number 12, the Home Builders Association.
Counselor?
Yeah, I'm also wondering about Habitat for Humanity. To me, I guess I'd like to hear more about why they're involved in this process, or what their role is with this. I certainly would see them having a role in, if we were actually having a genuine process for affordable housing, which this isn't, in my opinion. And the city has had opportunities. Like, for example, there was a couple of lots by the water reservoir that the city bought and then used for the reservoir staging and so forth. And then we could have entertained an idea to turn those over to something like Habitat for Humanity, or something for like the quadplex, or some other type of affordable, as affordable can get in this land, you know how that is, in that area. And unfortunately, that doesn't seem to be the way things are going, but we do have opportunities periodically where, you know, like properties that have, like, there's like a drug house or something that the county takes over because they didn't pay their taxes or something like that, and the city actually gets first right of refusal. And, you know, we can turn properties over into something like that if we want to initiate a process like that. But that's for affordable housing. I don't call this affordable housing. This is called housing choices or something. It's
So the House Bill 2003, sorry, Vicki. Yeah, so House Bill 2003 is a housing needs analysis. So again, one, it would be able to start a relationship with the Habitat for Humanity. Two, they've been heavily involved in both House Bill 2001 and 2003, so they're knowledgeable about it. And yeah, they advocate for affordable housing, which I think is all positive things for the city of West Lynn. So I think they would be a fantastic member of this committee.
And I have a, and I think the Home Builders Association, they were very active on house bill, those two house bills too. So they would have bring a lot of information to the table too. So it's because this is going to be information driven, isn't this committee? This, we want information from these people.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. That's the yeah. The intent behind, you know, recommending some of these housing organizations.
Not to influence, but to just to, we want information from them.
That's correct. Yeah. So again, for instance, House Bill 2001, the consultant is going to look at what the rules are and where the city's code is and in the gap. And then these folks on the committee will review that information and provide the consultant with feedback.
And I think the consultant will be, you know, the one providing some of the recommendations here, rather than the committee. The committee will be, like Darren said, reviewing the consultant's suggestions. Again, I think that we want people that are focused more on West Lynn directly, and who live here and who have a stake here. So that's why I'm proposing we get rid of some of the people who don't live in West Lynn.
So just to be clear, the Home Builders Association represents, I mean, there's developers that build housing in West Lynn that are members of the Home Builders Association. So They have a tie to the city of West Lynn. They have a tie to every city in the Portland metro area.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they had a huge part in this whole bill.
So
it basically undoes Oregon land use law.
Yeah, I mean that's having their perspective would be interesting, but my concern on the bill from the beginning has been that it's market driven. It's not. Mm-hmm. It is not about socioeconomics. It's but I'm expecting lawsuits to start coming by next June, so that's another issue.
Yeah.
So maybe here's a question, Darren. So the comments that are going to be, or the reviews that are going to be done by the committee, are the committee members going to vote on specific comments so that if the market type people make comments, how do those get incorporated into the consultant's work? Say in particular, if those comments are opposed by community members, or even let's just say on the other side of it, Habitat for Humanity, which isn't market driven. We're not in the same way as home builders.
So for House Bill 2003, again, it's a housing needs analysis where the consultant will look at the projected housing needs of the community, do a buildable lands inventory, and then basically do the math to see where we're deficient. So they would just be reviewing that information and following along with the consultant. The consultant will be looking at some strategies other communities use to meet needed housing, and will bring some recommendations forward. So they will probably have some feedback on those. But again, that's phase one. Phase two will then be staff taking the housing needs analysis and these sort of options out to the community and the minimus or the maximus exercise that I've been talking about. House Bill 2001, again, is the consultant looking at what are the rules that have been put in place? Where's the city's code? Where's the gap? And then what the code needs to be changed, how the code needs to be changed to meet the rules. So that will be what they will be providing feedback on.
Okay.
And I'll say it, I'll keep saying it. It's a two-phase process. Phase one being the technical exercise. That's the consultant's work. Phase two being staff will then take the output of the consultant and take it around the community and get the feedback on, again, the minimus or the maximus. And then that's where the city of Westland's citizens and then ultimately the planning commission and city council get to make that decision of how far the city wants to go in implementation of House Bill 2001 and how far we want to go in striving to meet our housing needs that have been identified in the housing needs analysis.
So, and I guess we've talked about this before, so really there are probably at least four phases at which the community has input from this committee to presentations to the community to planning commission to council. That's at least four.
That's correct. That would be the minimum. And you know, again, we've been talking among staff. If we could get some funds budgeted, we would actually hire maybe a facilitator for the phase two in order to set up the community conversations around the policy decisions.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay. So Ed, we're coming back to you, I guess.
I'd like to stick with the motion I have on the floor. I guess we don't have a second so far. So if there's no second, then
good. Counselor?
Well, it looks like Vicki was trying to talk.
There I am. So is everybody okay with taking out the Home Builders Association then?
I'm okay with that. But I do think that the Home Builders Association, I'm okay with it, but I also do think that they actually
can bring stuff to the table.
I think they are probably more focused on actual homes than building duplexes and multifamily. It's a whole different industry. I mean, I know just because, you know, Jesse's a realtor, it's like a whole different group of people that build and buy and use multifamily residents. It's not what most builders do.
And Darren, could you explain what Development Northwest, I'm assuming that's what DEBNW stands for?
Yes, sorry. Yeah, they are an affordable housing provider and advocacy group. So, so they're also in the affordable housing game.
Okay.
Yeah, they actually develop housing and then also own properties that they rent for affordable housing.
So that's all subsidized, right? That's subsidized.
That I don't know.
So there's,
it's hard for me to picture any affordable housing that's not subsidized in Westland.
Right. The affordable housing projects that I've helped with, at least on stormwater issues, and this is a while ago now, I mean, they were funded by investors who received tax benefits, and that was sufficient enough for them to do the investment. Ed.
So if it would help move things along, I will withdraw my motion and I'll let somebody else make a motion to constitute this committee so we can move on. So I'm withdrawing my motion.
Okay.
I'll just make a motion to approve everyone on the list, adding the three extra people. And I don't remember all their names, so I can't give them their names. But
okay, I'll second that motion.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Chris, would you call the roll?
Yes, I will. Ms. Knight?
Yes.
Ms. Olson?
Yes.
Mr. Schwarz?
No.
Chair Valvani?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes 3-1.
Okay. So we have a list for council. Do we need to do another letter?
Yes. So Chair Robotney, I'll just revise the letter that you had signed previously with the new list with the individuals and I will actually email that out to you before I leave for tonight.
Okay.
City Hall is closed tomorrow, so I'll connect back with you on Monday about it.
So I'm looking at a final decision and order that Jennifer sent, and signing that for Lynn to mail tomorrow.
Okay.
So I can send it to Lynn if that's helpful.
Either way, no hurries. You can wait till whenever you have the chance to.
Okay.
And I appreciate the CCI's feedback. Thank you for getting through this.
Yeah, I know it's not the process we probably would have wanted. I like getting perspective. Sometimes I get too wound up in my own little world, and so it's nice to have other people kicking out into the big world and hear some other things. So I think I have some of the same questions that Ed does, but at the same time, I'm interested in what their perspectives are as well.
I think there's a net we got adding those extra three citizens. I think the citizenry outweighs the other groups, so I think we should be fine. That's how I was looking at it.
Yeah, no, I agree. Plus, with all of the other advisory group representation, we have more than sufficiently outweighing any external organization. So. Okay. Is there anything else that we need to do this evening?
Can I?
Oh, Counselor?
Yeah, thank you. By the way, you know, on the agenda tonight for tonight's meeting, it says public comments. I'm not really sure why we even have that on there. Because I don't really know how the public can even comment on something when no information is provided. Unless they happen to listen to Monday night's meeting. But In the future, I would like personally, I thought the Committee for Citizen Involvement was actually a much more dynamic thing when the Planning Commission was doing it, because they had that section after their meetings on tape, part of the public process, you know, on the dais, and people were actually seeing a discussion about what citizen involvement means. And what it was an opportunity for members of the public to come in and say what they think, you know, that could be improved and so forth about citizen involvement. For example, years ago, there was a great deal of disruption about a trail master plan, and that people didn't feel like they had been given a chance to know what was happening or give input in it. So they came to the CCI, and then as a result of all that input, you know, the city had to kind of take a look at their process. Right now, we have a situation where if you were to look on our agenda and minutes page of our city website, you would see that almost every single citizen engagement agenda will have approval of the minutes, and it won't have a link to the minutes. And so people won't even be able to see what that is. And then they might have a discussion like we do. It says discussion of House Bill 2001 and 2003. There's no link to the previous information like the council had in front of them, and that you were emailed before your last meeting, but the public never got to see it. So the public has not really been involved in this process. And they're not, like, for example, the Parks Board, it might say the Savannah Oaks Playground stuff. There's no link to Savannah Oaks Playground stuff, even though when that's in front of the council, there's a whole staff report and pictures and everything that people can look at, and they can respond to it in an informed manner. We are literally doing this with every citizen advisory group right now, our city is. And to me, it's a huge step backwards in the whole concept of goal one, because if you don't provide information to the public in a timely manner before the meetings, how can you ever expect them to be involved in the process? And to me, the Committee for Citizen Involvement should be looking at how do we as a city, how are we functioning? How are we delivering an active citizen engagement process that truly does legitimately inform people and help get them get engaged in a timely manner?
I know it's been tough with COVID and stuff, but I haven't been happy with the fact that you have to sign up by noon if you're going to speak at a council meeting, because you're so used to being able to just go or give your public comment or whatever. You might, you know, see something at the last minute. So I don't know if there's anything going to be done about that, but I know it's logistical, and, you know, staff's dealing with these WebEx systems and all this kind of stuff. But that's one of those things that bugs me.
I'm just trying to find, I'm on the city website right now, because I understand what Councilor Cummings is saying, and I just thinking back to a couple of years ago when we were working on the looking at the land use application process, and we had a huge list of documents and progressing through that process. Every version of the report was online. And I'm not finding it immediately, but there should be an easy link. And I remember we talked about this before, I'm going to have to spend some time trying to figure out where it is now, because hopefully it still exists. Ed.
I think that Councillor Cummings makes excellent points, and I think we should consider adding an item to our next agenda to discuss ways in which we can improve on the process of engaging our citizens, in especially our citizen advisory group meetings, you know, by having minutes that include links to the necessary documents so the citizens can educate themselves. So, but yeah, I'd like to consider having a discussion about that at our next meeting.
Yeah, I think that would be great.
Thank you. The fundamental principle is that city council provides information it's supposed to. If you look at our agenda, if you look at the council rules, if you look at agenda, I think it's page 15, it says that information for our council meetings is supposed to be available 10 days in advance. Now, we struggle with that on the council because sometimes staff will put something on the agenda and then they won't provide the information until days or hours before the meeting, but certainly not 10 days in advance. That doesn't give the public the opportunity, and even the council, the opportunity to read and digest the information properly in order to prepare for the meeting. You know, so in a nutshell, the principle is all the rules that apply to the council about how we conduct our public meetings apply to the citizen advisory groups because they are public meetings also. Ironically, after pushing really hard for a long time with the former city manager and not getting through very easily, but finally, we adopted some rules that require that minutes are produced after a meeting within two weeks after a meeting, so that people can see what happened at the last meeting before the next meeting happens. And so actually, after, you know, when I first came on, I was seeing that very few of the citizen advisory groups were even posting their minutes. We finally now are at a part where most of our city citizen advisory groups are posting their minutes in a timely manner each month, but the council hasn't been. The council has had groups of 4, 5, 6 or more sets of minutes at a time that date back 3 months. And we've been going through that for years. And so this year I started objecting and saying, I'm not going to vote for the minutes if you're going to give me that many sets of minutes that are that antiquated. I was basically, you know, having my own little protest on that. And I think we're finally making some progress on that. But these are the kinds of things. This is how we build trust, is by providing information in a timely manner so that people can see what our process is and be involved in it.
Yeah, I think this would be a good discussion to have. Seems that we're all in agreement on that. Anything further? Any other points of interest? Okay. So it looks like we're ready to adjourn. Seeing yeses. Okay. Okay. It is 6:39, a little longer than we anticipated, and we're adjourned for the evening. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Thanks.